Right. Good morning again, everyone. Thankful to be here to declare God's word to you. Who's excited to hear God's word? Let me see a show of hands. All right. So stand with me as we read God's word. John chapter 15, verse 12 to 17. And it reads, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for leaving us with your guidelines, your manual for living the life in Christ Jesus faithfully. Father, as we come into the hearing of your word, I pray that I would decrease and you would increase. I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and illuminate your word so that we can understand it. Pray that you'd give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are ready to go and do your will. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our God and our Redeemer. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So it's time for a pop quiz. I know some of you here were here the last time I proclaimed the message. And we were in John chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. Anyone can tell me what the passage was focused on? Not a rhetorical question. Some kind of fruit. Bear good fruit. Anyone else remember what the passage was focused on? The vine and the branches remaining in Christ. Anything else? Come on, this is my A class right here. Producing good fruit, that we were created to bear and produce good fruit. True vine. So today we are going to continue in the same passage, John 15. We're going to be in verses 12 to 17. And I want you to consider this idea. Redefinition of love. Now, most times we consider our relationships from this perspective. We often have conditions and we love others and express love to our friends, our family, our neighbors, co-workers, brothers, sisters in Christ based on our own flawed expectations. However, I want us to think about how to love others and how to relate to others, because if we are going to use our expectations as a standard, those expectations are always going to come up short. As believers in the completed work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and as disciples who have made a commitment to following his way, I want us to start thinking through God's design through Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way." So I want us to start looking at how to love others the Jesus way. As followers of his way, also outlined in Acts chapter 9, verse 2, followers of Christ committed to walking according to Jesus' way. And this image of walking based on the Jesus way is not a New Testament phenomenon. The book of Exodus, chapter 10, the people of Israel, when they were delivered, were said to walk in the way, in God's way. So, I have an ask of us. Would you commit to a change in approach today? Would you? All right, thanks. I am going to ask you at the end to make a commitment to love redefined, departing from our normative way of loving others, our way of living and acting and thinking and being. And I want you to frame that up in the context of loving sacrificially. Now, the men and I have been going through this experience in God's study on Wednesday mornings, and there's this thought presented in the first chapter of Experience in God, where a father can be studied from a theoretical point of view. An individual can research and identify the characteristics of what a good father is. They can learn about that in theory, but the truth is, individuals who have a father can relate to what a father is in reality, as opposed to a perception of what a father is. So this morning, as we explore, I want us to gain a greater understanding of what that looks like in reality. So John writes, Jesus says to his followers, "My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." Now, do you believe that the disciples understood exactly what this meant? I don't either. I truly doubt that they understood the magnitude of what that meant. Now the question is, do you and I understand exactly what that means? No, I don't think so. Not in the absolute sense of what it means. Let us look at love redefined. Before we go any further in the book of John, let's explore what Paul writes as it relates to loving someone the way Christ loves us. So in Ephesians 5, 25 to 29, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loves the church." A husband might ask, how did Christ love the church? And I'm thankful that Paul provides the answer. Christ gave himself up for the church. Christ sacrificed his life in place of the churches. And why did Paul write that? To give us an image of what sacrificial love looks like. Christ took our place, stood in our position to make us holy, cleansing us, washing us with the water through the word. You see, we had a holiness problem, and the only way to remedy that problem was for a price to be paid. A price had to be paid to satisfy God's wrath and to make us right in his sight. And thankfully, Jesus stepped in and paid that price. How does this play out in marriages? I'm sure not many of you know this about me, and it's probably going to shock your socks off. But I was an idol worshiper. And in my marriage, sports took greater priority
than anything else. And something needed to be sacrificed. No wonder God had a plan to use sports to redeem me and to take his rightful place on the throne of my heart. Sports had major priorities in my life. It was an idol. Jody would probably call it her mistress. And I would volunteer around it. In fact, my first ministry role was the sports ministry leader at our local church. Sports was an idol. A sacrifice is something that is going to cost you. And in order for Jody, for me to love her the way Christ was calling me to, sports needed to be sacrificed. Christ gave up his life, and I had to give up sports. Why? Because I had a new assignment. As husbands, the assignment is to present our brides to Christ as a radiant bride, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Husbands, please stand. Husbands, I'm here to inform you. You have an assignment. And if you didn't know, it is to present your wife to God as a radiant bride without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, keep standing. Now, how can I present my bride to God without being in a position of spiritual leadership? If sports was not given up, sacrificed, my heart would be in a place filled with distractions. Jesus could not make us holy and blameless by not being obedient. And he was obedient. He was obedient to the point of death. Husbands, you may sit down. However, I ask that you do not sit down on this God-sized assignment. You see what I did there? Husbands, do not sit down on this God-sized assignment. I don't believe I could find a more applicable example of what love redefined looks like, outlined in Ephesians 5. If you have one, I'm asking you to come share it with me after the service. Paul writes that in order for me to understand what sacrificial love looks like as a husband, a brother, a follower of Jesus, I need to love my bride just like Christ loves me. But you know what? Paul wasn't fully convinced that men were going to do what he said through that one illustration. Because our heads are hard, we are knuckleheads sometimes. So Paul doubled down and he provides another illustration. Now, I don't want you to think that if you aren't a husband or you aren't married, this is not for you. Because remember, we're talking about sacrificial love here. Despite giving a perfect illustration, Paul writes, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, every one of us can relate to this illustration because every one of us has a body. And when was the last time someone had to tell you to take care of your body? Hardly likely. Unless, of course, you have a mental breakdown, or you're childish, or you're out of your mind. We take care of ourselves. When I'm hungry, I eat. When I'm tired, I When I am dirty, I have a shower. So the same is true for all of us. Like, we know how to take ourselves. And Paul is saying here, just like a husband who knows how to take care of himself, he is instructing us that's the way he wants us to take care of others. So simple, yet so many of us don't respond by following the Jesus way. Are you caring for others the Jesus way? And if I were to be brutally honest, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't love others the way Christ loves me. And sometimes I don't even love others the way I love myself. So there's a whole lot of sanctification that's still left to happen in your pastor. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. Now, I never have to wonder if Christ is going to take care of the church. I never have to wonder if Christ is going to take care of me. And I was working at a church once, not going to call the name of the church, but this church almost went out of existence because of lack of resources. And every week I'd get the question, aren't you worried that you're going to be out of a job? Aren't you worried that you're not going to be able to pay your bills? And I would always respond like Pastor Ray did in the message last week. This church, like all churches, is built on Christ the solid rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus Christ always feeds his people. He always takes care of his body. Jesus Christ always feeds and always cares for his body. So from these verses, we can learn some very important truths. And let me ask all the husbands again. Did you realize the responsibility that God required of you? You don't have to answer out loud. But I will. I honestly didn't realize the depth of what I was committing to. And just like the illustration with the father in the beginning, there's an idea that you have about marriage. There's an idea of how it's going to work. And when I asked Jody's dad for her hand in marriage, I truly did not understand the depth of what was being asked of me. Because Ephesians 5 tells me that I need to love my wife sacrificially, I need to lead her spiritually, and I need to provide for her. And I think I was taking most of my direction from the culture by thinking all my job required was providing for my wife, with very low priority to spiritual leadership and very low priority to sacrificial love. Because I know anything about vows, one thing I know about biblical vows is that they are not to be taken lightly. And understanding the depth of this biblical commitment to love your wife as Christ loved the church, this is something that causes me to wonder if I knew the depth of what was required. At 23, when I proposed to Jody, I wonder if I would. Because Ecclesiastes 5 tells me that it's better not to vow than to vow and break that vow. And I surely didn't want to break the vow. So this is literally an impossible assignment as we think about loving others the way Christ loves us. And in our own human strength, impossible. Impossible. Can't be done. But God. but God. With God, all things are possible. Through this illustration, though the focus is on marriage, I'm using it to reframe our thinking about love redefined. It is next to impossible to live an assignment out or to be faithful in it if we know not what the assignment is. Christ gave up himself for the church. In our place, Christ became sin who knew no sin, so that we could become his righteousness. And I must warn you, sacrificial love is a walk in the garden. Jesus prayed earnestly in the garden, asking if there be another way for the Father to accomplish his will of this unfair exchange. Him taking what we deserved, God's wrath, and setting us at peace with God, and gifting us what we did not deserve, his righteousness. So I would ask Brett, Ernie, Cam, Mike, Sean, Chris, Cam, Romney, Ben, can you love your wife in your own strength sacrificially? Never. Never. But not by might, nor by power, but through God's Spirit. None of us in this room just wake up in the morning and start loving people sacrificially. None of us. Yet, isn't that what Christ is calling us to? Isn't that what Christ is calling us to? Yes, he is. God is calling us to love each other sacrificially. I'm just saying, we are required to love each other just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men, you are assigned to lead. Considering that we could be very focused on what we do, we can be very intentional and pursue targets aggressively. And God knew he placed that in us, right? But we can get real complacent sometimes. The truth is that while we were built with this inner drive, we can settle real quickly for the passive life. And spiritual leadership is an assignment for us men, given to be fulfilled with God. Jesus described it like this. He said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. And that's what we're called to do as followers of Christ. We are called to love others sacrificially by laying down our lives for others. Now, what happens when we live sacrificially? In accordance to the way of Jesus, what happens? I guarantee you that transformation happens. Transformation happens. And I often ask the ladies that are being proposed during premarital counseling this question. If your husband were to love you sacrificially, lead you spiritually, and provide for you, would you have a problem submitting to him? No. Nope. You willingly surrender, submit. Where husbands are called to love sacrificially, lead spiritually, and provide, wives are also called to live sacrificially. Jesus framed it up. If you are my friends, you will do what I command. And I have a friend in the congregation. I'm hoping that he doesn't get mad at me for stealing his catchphrase right now. But Pastor Layton, things are not always this black and white. In that there are women married to husbands that are not following the biblical model of sacrificial love, spiritual leadership, and provision. And I would say true, true, very true. In fact, there are Christian husbands who are not living by this biblical model. And I was one of them. But I see no clause in these verses that says you should do this only when the other person does that. It's a matter of whether or not I'm going to be obedient to what God's word teaches. Peter frames it up like this. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. So Peter, you are saying if a non-believing husband is not being faithful to the biblical practices of sacrificial love, his wife should still submit to him. Yes, that's what the word just said. Now, that too requires a sacrifice. That too requires living sacrificially. And it sure ain't easy. However, Jesus says, if you are my friends, you will do what I command. Following Jesus and living for him takes great sacrifice. Yes, obey even the hard things, the things that make no sense to you. Because the truth is, God can do a work in our hearts when we live and when we love sacrificially. So my prayer is this, Lord, I believe it when you say in your word, they will be won over without me having to say a word. If my life illustrates that I am loving others the way you love me, people are going to look at it in the world and wonder, no, there's something certainly wrong with this person. I just cut them off in traffic and they're praying for me. I'm not praying that I go meeting to an accident. They're praying for God's best for me. When somebody mistreats you at work and you are kind to them, when you're gentle with them and compassionate to them, that illustrates light and provides a witness of what a Christ transformed life looks like. So my obedience, your obedience to God's word will lead others to Christ. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. I am here to tell us all that we are chosen, we are appointed to go and bear fruit. What kind of fruit? That's correct. We are appointed, we are chosen to go and bear good fruit. We are being called to bear good fruit that will not just maintain for a while, but that will last for eternity. Jesus sums up the passage. This is my command. Love others. Love each other. So today, I'm asking you to make an informed commitment to love sacrificially. Not an easy ask. In the first service on the way out, about five persons stopped me and said, Pastor Layton, it's hard to love people sacrificially. And no one said it was easy. And we can't do it in our own strength. I can't do it in my own strength. So I encourage you to do it with God and through the power of His Holy Spirit. So I ask that you commit to love redefined. Sacrificial love. Loving others the way Christ loves you. And I have another ask. I ask that you place no parameters on this sacrificial love. Because that would be going back to our default mode of loving people based on conditions. And I want you to test it. I want you to test it. Let us test and see what God will do to us first when we love sacrificially. What He will do through us, and what He will do around us. Those are measurable things. I can look at God's work in my life when I love sacrificially, when I love Jody sacrificially. I can look at God working in my heart and in my life. And I encourage you and I challenge you to do the same, not just with your spouse or with your child, but with some of the most difficult people you experience each week. The grace growers. So, I challenge you, as I challenge myself, to love others sacrificially. Let's pray. Everlasting God and our Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your Holy Spirit has come to teach us, to remind us how to live like you. I pray in this moment for every single believer in this room that we would follow the Jesus way, that we would follow the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, our Savior, and watch what you will do in our hearts, that watch what you will do through us, and watch what you will do around us. And I pray for anyone in this room who's never committed to accepting that gift, that unfair transfer that you made to gift us your righteousness, as we turn from our sinful ways and as we follow you, the true and living God. I pray that they would commit today to living for you. So God, we surrender this time to you in Christ Jesus. Amen.